state is considering. You can see quite a few lines on this particular map. Just for orientation, Bethesda is on your left. Silver Spring is close to the middle. You see Tacoma Langley Transit Center all the way to the right. As far as light rail alignments, MTA is looking at one that uses Wayne Avenue, one that uses Sligo Avenue, and then a variation of the Sligo Avenue alignment is a tunnel that would go from Piney Branch onto Langley, Tacoma Langley area. Now, as far as BRT stands for Bus Rapid Transit, they are still looking at the Jones Bridge Road alignment. They're also looking at the master plan Georgetown Branch alignment for BRT. Also along East-West Highway, up Colesville Road to Four Corners, and then back down again, University. Colesville Road and using Franklin Avenue, or Colesville Road going over to Flower Avenue. Then back to the Wayne Avenue alignment for bus rapid transit, as well as the Sligo Avenue alignment for bus rapid transit. And as far as Sligo is concerned, there's also the tunnel option that would be used for bus rapid transit. Now, as far as our recommendation to the planning board, it's always a challenge to retrofit any kind of facility in a built-up area, an area that's well-established. Nevertheless, at this stage, of the two alignments that we looked at for light rail, it appears to us that the Wayne Avenue alignment has the better characteristics. It's got more available right-of-way, has more suitable terrain for light rail. It has a potentially larger transit ridership market as well. However, the staff does recommend that at this point, both the Sligo and Wayne Avenue alignments be carried forward, so that not only we'd be able to compare the two with each other, but to compare them against the various bus rapid transit alignments that are going to be proposed by the state. So we think there's some value in proceeding to the next stage with both alignments. We did coordinate very heavily with other staffs. As you can see, we did not only meet with other staffs in Montgomery County, but also with the city of Tome Park and staff at Prince George's County. So we've been working very closely with our counterparts in the other agencies. At this point, I'm going to pass the microphone on to Margaret Rifkin, who's going to cover the outreach efforts and some of the community issues.
Thank you. For the record, I'm Margaret Rifkin. As you know, the County Council asked us to do outreach as part of our evaluation. We started by sending over 100 letters out to civic associations that were within a quarter mile of the alignments under consideration, and we sent them in both Spanish and English, and you'll see copies of them in the attachments to your staff report. We also set up what we term as focus groups, but we used some existing umbrella organizations to do that. We went out and we described the process, provided information, and asked for feedback. We were able to meet with about 7 groups, and which were basically boards, advisory boards, and boards of various umbrella organizations. In addition, we specifically invited some other groups. We hoped to hear from them. We weren't able to meet with them at this before we had the hearing today. We also regularly attended the Purple Line Coalition meetings. Our website included our outreach included a website, which you see pictured here, a dedicated email address as well, and as you know, we sent out press releases. Some general comments that we received in the course of outreach were requests for more information. People did not feel that they had the depth of information they needed to weigh in on a preferred alignment at this time. People preferred an alignment that would have the least impact on homes. There were suggestions to tunnel more to reduce those impacts, requests for cost comparisons, and more recently we received some letters about protecting homes on Sligo Avenue. And as you know, there was a great deal of testimony that was faxed in and emailed in today, which will help to flesh out the picture along with the testimony you hear in person. Why we're recommending Wayne Avenue and Sligo Avenue as light rail with a double track in an exclusive right-of-way. The reasons are, as you know, light rail transit tends to attract more riders. The permanent stations tend to foster more revitalization than those that could be moved easily. The double track leads to a faster service, and the exclusive transit way also leads to faster service and more dependable service. We felt that both alignments should proceed to the next stage of review, partly because we still felt in terms of process that we still need a full community discussion. We did our outreach, but we haven't had the kind of discussion that we'd get with a master plan process where different alternatives are evaluated. We also feel that a full study of the impacts is needed, which would be provided in the next stage, and at that time also consideration of how various impacts could be mitigated could be looked at in much more detail. Both alignments have some attributes which speak well for them. One is that they both provide service to the Long Branch community, which is very important for revitalization. Both of them have options for possible stations that would serve multifamily apartments and neighborhoods. And we felt that we heard community interest in both in our travels. Both of them have, this is just a real quick comparison of them to give you some additional information here. Both of them have a similar number of single-family homes adjacent to the right-of-way. However, they differ in other respects. The Wayne Avenue alignment has more existing right-of-way along it. It also provides an opportunity for a station at Fenton, right near the Fresh Fields and the new hotel, and also the possibility of a station at Silver Spring International School near that neighborhood of multifamily apartments and also near Sligo Creek and the trail. However, the Wayne Avenue alignment would require incorporating the Silver Spring Green Trail, so it would take a little more right-of-way to be implemented. It would have to negotiate a major intersection at Wayne and Georgia somehow, whether it would be tunneled or elevated or at grade would have to be examined in the future. It also requires a tunnel from Sligo Creek to Flower Avenue to avoid a steep slope on Wayne. And then finally, it may require a second avenue alignment, which would involve a bridge over Colesville and access to the transit center on its north side. In comparison, the Sligo Avenue alignment is a little simpler in terms of exiting the Silver Spring Transit Center. It provides the possibility of a station near Fenton Street, which could serve South Silver Spring and Montgomery College, and the possibility also of a station at Dale Drive. However, there's less existing right-of-way on Sligo Avenue. It would require a tunnel to get across Georgia Avenue, and there are two major inclines along this alignment that are on Piney Branch Road, and they are so steep that they would have to be mitigated with engineering, and then that implies other impacts on the neighboring land uses. So we're recommending both alignments for further study for that reason. Now, we also have information for you on the different options that are associated with the Silver Spring CBD itself. We'd be glad to go into that now if you'd like. We know you're pressed for time.
Oh, no, I think you should. Those are okay. Important issues.
Okay. So these are the details of the alignments that are associated with the Silver Spring CBD. Okay, we're zooming in here. You'll see the transit center located, and then the Silver Spring Metro Plaza building, which pinches the space along the master plan alignment. You see the master plan alignment along the north side of the tracks coming into the Silver Spring. We're also including for consideration one coming in along the south side of the tracks. In addition, we're looking at bringing the line through the transit center along the tracks, or along 2nd Avenue to Wayne, and it would then bridge Colesville Road. It would stay high, go over Colesville, and then touch down on Wayne Avenue, where the grade would meet again. We're looking at an alignment that would go along the new fire station site and then go under Georgia Avenue to Sligo Avenue. Also, an alignment that would come through the transit center along the track and then run down Ripley Street and up Georgia to then continue along Wayne. So that concludes our presentation. I'd be glad to take questions.
I think we're going to save questions until we've heard from the public.
Okay, then I'd like to introduce Mike Madden, who's with the Maryland Transportation Authority, who wanted to speak briefly.
Yeah, do you want to talk now, Mike? I was going to bring you up after the public testimony and have you sit with us while we go through our recommendations.
That's fine.
Is that okay? I think that makes more sense. Thanks. Okay, we'll now take speakers in groups of three, since we have three chairs. So I'll call your name. Come up as a group. Suzanne Ludlow, John Warnock, and Edward Finn are the first three. Suzanne Ludlow, John Warnock, and Edward Finn. And as you may have noted from the list, we are limiting everybody to 3 minutes. I know that's shorter than we normally provide, but we had an unusual amount of interest in this issue, and we want to make sure we have time to hear from everyone, and so I have to shorten everyone's time accordingly. So everyone has 3 minutes, and the City of Tacoma Park is first. Suzanne?
Thank you. Good afternoon, Chairman Berlage and members of the Planning Board. I'm Suzanne Ludlow, Community and Government Liaison for the City of Tacoma Park. The Mayor and Council of Tacoma Park asked that I attend today's meeting and transmit to you City Council Resolution 2004-46, adopted this past Monday. The City of Tacoma Park has consistently supported the development of the Purple Line. We've strongly supported the line, even though the exact route near Tacoma Park has not been determined. As stated in the resolution, the City feels that the Purple Line, if properly designed, will promote revitalization, will help address traffic congestion, and will provide much improved access for lower-income residents, college students, and others who have few alternative forms of transportation. Tacoma Park City staff have worked with Park and Planning staff and others in reviewing possible alignments which may be considered by the MTA in its ARDS report. A briefing on the alternatives has been presented to the Tacoma Park City Council. The Council feels that both the Sligo Avenue and Wayne Avenue alignments in the Silver Spring and Tacoma Park areas are worthy of further study by Montgomery County and MTA. In addition to urging detailed study of these alignments, the City of Tacoma Park urges Montgomery County and Prince George's County to open the master plans now along the Purple Line route and to jointly study the area near the proposed Tacoma-Langley Crossroads Station, where the two counties meet. The City of Tacoma Park is looking forward to the increased transit service, economic revitalization, and safe and attractive facilities that can come with a well-designed Purple Line. In the near term, we wish to see the kickoff of a participatory bi-county master planning process so that the community may thoroughly consider the potential impacts and opportunities of the possible alignments and station locations. In summary, the City Council supports continued study of the Sligo Avenue and Wayne Avenue routes for a bi-county transit system, strongly supports stations at both Long Branch and Tacoma-Langley Crossroads, urges that priority be given to routes that minimize the taking of residential buildings and best serve densely populated communities in our area commercial districts, recommends a light rail system rather than bus rapid transit, requests that the Montgomery County Council and the Prince George's County Council direct their respective planning boards to open the master plans along the proposed routes so that thorough study of the routes, stops, and land uses can be made through a process of significant community outreach and participation, and urges that in identifying transit locations, planners provide for adequate space for safe, attractive passenger waiting areas and for safe access to and from the site. Thank you for this opportunity to share the position of the City of Tacoma Park.
Thank you very much. Mr. Warnock.
Good afternoon, Chairman and members of the board. I thank you very much for this opportunity to address you on this matter, which is of great importance to us. We are absolutely opposed to building any kind of transit system on the Capitol Crescent Trail. There is no need for it. There is no way it can be done without destroying both the trail and the communities through which it would pass. And there is not enough money now or anywhere on the horizon available to build and then operate such a Purple Line. We are not against transit. A well-planned transit system, as anyone knows, who knows the Paris Met Network can attest, is that proverbial pearl without great price. But France, we must remember, is a unitary state, and the taxpayers of the whole country pay to keep Paris moving. Poorly planned transit, on the other hand, can be a disaster, and that's particularly when it's done with a view to achieve political ends. I'm going to skip over part of my prepared testimony, I'm going to submit in writing. I would only note that some among the problems that the transit systems have been facing is that very recently, Philadelphia's Southeast Pennsylvania Transportation Authority announced that its transit operations will run a $62 million deficit this year, and that if more money from government is not available, it will, effective January 1, terminate all weekend services and raise fares 25%. Now our money is a problem. Now our own popular metro system is entering into that period of financial crisis that the Council of Governments predicted years ago. Absent new subsidies to cover operating costs, it will not be able to maintain existing, let alone add services. Money, it must be remembered, makes the wheels as well as the world go round, and no transit system can cover operating costs out of the fare box. We must only build what we can afford to operate. Yet there are those anxious to press ahead with a project that is incompatible with Metro, whose only direct connection to Bethesda's Red Line will be by those wonderfully unreliable elevators, whose ability to even get into Silver Spring is problematic, and once there, whether it is to connect to the Metro station or the transit center is as unknown as is its route eastwards from that point. However, the impact of the route's western segment on the trail and the communities through which it would pass are all too well known and are clearly laid out in the November 2002 MTA engineering study. The topography of the trail between Bethesda and the CSX main lines, which is essentially one long narrow berm, is to be radically altered. Some segments reduced by over 10 feet, adjoining ones raised that much to permit high-speed trains to cross over Connecticut Avenue and then pass under Jones Mill Road and cross Rock Creek on a new trestle. Some 6,000.
Unfortunately, your time is up, but we will read the rest of your written comments. Thank you very much. Edward Finn.
My name is Edward Finn, and I represent the Committee to Save the Trail, Georgetown Branch. And I'll cut my testimony slightly short. It was set for 4 minutes. As the teenager in the comic strip Zitz said this past week, I'd like to use the word disingenuous to apply to the staff report and the commentaries in Exhibit C. And I'd like to list these in the 10 best category form. Number 10, to get the Georgetown branch to downtown Silver Spring, we can't use the CSX right away, so we'll go over under it. Number 9, we'll go to the north side of the tracks, but then we'll have to wiggle around on 2nd Avenue somehow to avoid the Metro Plaza building. So what if it screws up the road in front of the building or accesses it? Number 8, so we'll go south and knock down a few buildings and impinge on Rosemary Hill School and then fly over 16th Street and land on Spring Street, or maybe not. Number 7, let's not mention, by the by, that we don't have access to the CSX corridor, since Montgomery County bought up the Georgetown branch only to Stewart Avenue, and that leaves a couple of hundred feet, so it won't show up on the maps. Number 6, so that we've made it, to the transit center, either on the north end or the south end, and we're going to find Wayne Avenue by, quote, looping, unquote, maybe back on ourselves using Fenton Street. Oh, number 5, quote, the turns are likely to require additional engineering, affecting costs, and slower speeds, affecting travel time, unquote. I like to quote the staff when it stipulates their plan will cost a lot of money and time, both of which mean fewer riders. Number 4, let me quote the staff report again for a nice bit of enlightenment. Quote, the light rail mode is attractive to developers. The bus rail transit alignments are not as inviting to developers because the bus service could be more easily discontinued at any time. That's my emphasis there at the end. Number 3, The developer's viewpoint was made sufficiently clear to the staff by a self-important letter written from the Chevy Chase Land Company, who expect their investments to be cared for by you, and that in no uncertain terms. Number two, in his letter, Mr. Asher of the Grandois CCLC asserts he owns portions of the Georgetown branch, and you'd better use it, or else. I would think, if only he were correct in his assertion, which he is not, for you, the county, and the state to stay away from the Georgetown branch. And finally, number one, Wayne Avenue at times, actually most of the times, has a right-of-way no more than 70 feet. But this is good to run dedicated two tracks and two lanes of traffic and still let people access their homes.
And your time is up.
And we're going to get a tunnel.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Any questions for this group?
Just one quick
Commissioner Bryant.
Mr. Womack.
Yes.
The BCC Coalition, is that a subsidiary of the Chamber of Commerce, or is this is a coalition beyond the Chamber of Commerce?
This has nothing to do with the Chamber of Commerce.
It has nothing to do with the Chamber of Commerce. I just wanted to make sure. Okay, thank you.
Next group is Chris Bamba, Rolf Sinclair, and Pam Browning. The chamber is first.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Chairman Balazs and members of the Planning Board. My name is Chris Baumel, and I am president of the Greater Silver Spring Chamber of Commerce. The Chamber has long supported the proposed Purple Line light rail transit line from Bethesda to New Carrollton as the optimum choice for east-west transit in southern Montgomery County and beyond. We wish to reiterate our ongoing support for this project today. We have seen recent presentation of the staff's recommendations for further study of alignments through the Silver Spring Central Business District and are aware of the challenges that must be addressed in this area and further east. While the Chamber does not prefer a particular proposed alignment in the Silver Spring Central Business District, we do urge that you push for funding to further study this issue so that the best means for taking light rail through downtown Silver Spring and beyond to the east may be determined. We also urge that during further study there be a priority placed on minimizing the impact on businesses and the community. The Chamber's position in support of the Inner Purple Line light rail system remains strong for the following key reasons. First, the thoroughly studied project and county-owned right-of-way between Silver Spring and Bethesda makes light rail the most cost-effective and expedient means to bring east-west transit to the southern part of Montgomery County. Second, light rail removes vehicles from the roads, an objective that is not fully met by alternatives such as bus rabbit transit. Third, the neighborhood-serving design of the light rail system will make it more accessible to more users and to those who most need public transportation. Fourth, it will deliver workers, students, shoppers, and diners directly to the hearts of two of Montgomery County's largest business centers in Silver Spring and Bethesda. Fifth, it is a very effective means of connecting our business centers to key commercial areas in Long Branch and Prince George's County, and for facilitating connections to key educational centers, including the University of Maryland in College Park and Montgomery College in Silver Spring and Tacoma Park. We urge your support of further study that we are confident will show the Purple Line light rail project to be the best transit solution for southern Montgomery County and adjacent Prince George's County. Thank you for allowing us to present this position this afternoon.
Thank you. Rolf Sinclair.
My name is Rolf Sinclair. I'm a frequent user of the Capitol Crescent Trail. I have to make my point rather strongly. My apologies.
That's quite all right.
These are my concerns about the proposed light rail. First and foremost, the construction of a surface rail system along the Georgetown branch would literally destroy the linear park and nature corridor that this former railroad right-of-way has become by popular choice, replacing it with a totally inadequate token trail. Next, I notice that the Planning Commission recognizes that developers find the proposed light rail particularly attractive, as one major development company freely admits. I am afraid that many of us who understand the cost and impact of light rail do not share their feeling. future commercial development instigated by the light rail will subject Connecticut Avenue to a repeat of Friendship Heights and its traffic jams. There's already far too much traffic on Connecticut Avenue, and we don't need any more. I find no indication that the Planning Commission has heeded the Harvard University review of light rail. This report finds that the great majority of the present systems have failed to live up to the promises and plans used to justify them, and that most of these systems, and I quote, were built in an atmosphere of advocacy rather than open debate about the variety of options. This report states that higher performance but less glamorous options, such as improved bus networks, can be significantly more cost-effective and serve the public better. The initial plan was to run an interurban trolley from Bethesda to Silver Spring. This has been transformed into a more extensive metro-sounding purple line that would go further east and west. We don't hear much nowadays of the earlier proposed extension of the rail line to Virginia. But if you look at the MTA map, which shows the yellow bar here is the purple line coming in, thank you, coming into Bethesda. The only way it, here's its terminus, the only way it can carry on to the west and Virginia is right down the Capitol Crescent Trail. There you go. It will take, it will eat up even more of the trail. Otherwise, you have to live with a dead-end terminus in Bethesda, and that kills half the argument for the rail system. Next one, please. I remind you, of course, that the trails have become ever more popular, and this is the very trail that the light rail would have to go scooting down and destroy in order to reach Virginia. The Commission also begins to recognize the destructive power of light rail in residential neighborhoods. I applaud this, and I can only hope it will be taken seriously and affect the final outcome. I argue against these plans for a surface light rail system because it would not be the best solution for our transportation needs. It would fuel excessive development just where we do not need it, and it would destroy step by step the most used and treasured park in Montgomery County. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you. Pam Browning.
My name is Pam Browning, and I'm here to speak on behalf of over 10,000 trail users who have signed the petition to save the Capitol Crescent Trail. The petition clearly states their strong preferences regarding the route of the Purple Line by County Transitway. It states, please construct the Purple Line either as an underground metro line between Bethesda and Silver Spring or in another location such as the Outer Purple Line. The proposed light rail along the Capitol Crescent Trail will not and should not ever be built. This project has no community support, not among trail users, not among homeowners, not among the entire Bethesda Chevy Chase community. Green space has become increasingly scarce at an alarming pace in Bethesda Chevy Chase, and the Capitol Crescent Trail becomes more precious and valued in our community and in the region every day. Any efforts to destroy the natural essence and the character of the Capitol Crescent Trail would be met with an overwhelming protest. The light rail project lives on year after year because it is financially driven by the Chevy Chase Land Company and its fellow developers, developers who are motivated by the desire to create high-density development around the proposed light rail station on Connecticut Avenue. These greedy developers are increasingly despised by the community. Just as they want us to give up community amenities and green space in the Woodmont Triangle, they want us to give up our trees and green space along the Capitol Crescent Trail. Many of you on this planning board have abrogated your responsibilities and failed to exercise creative leadership on behalf of the community. You have repeatedly chosen to be dividers and not uniters. As long as you continue to be dividers, you will fail to provide Montgomery County with an acceptable, realistic transportation plan that will provide meaningful long-term transportation solutions that everyone in the county can and will support. If you have vision, independence, courage, and compassion, you will support an immediate short-term solution, a solution that will provide greatly improved and more frequent regular and express bus service along East-West Highway and other important East-West routes. And for the long term, if you have vision, you will support the county executive in his desire for a seamless, convenient, East-West metro connection, a connection that will provide commuters from all around the region with greatly enhanced, fast, convenient metro service, a transportation solution that will take cars off the road, unlike the EIS projections of the light rail. Such a proposal has been supported by Metro, and with the united support of the community, would likely be expedited by Congress because of the benefits for homeland security that this Metro link would provide to the nation's capital. This planning board up till now has been a divider. It is time for you to unite us. Thank you.
Any questions for this group?
Well, I'm afraid.
Thank you very much. The next group is Eric Peek, Erwin Mack, Mr. Esco, no, okay. Mr. Esco's handing in his testimony, so Amy Beckett. Eric Peek, Erwin Mack, and Amy Beckett.
Good afternoon, Mr. Barrage, members of the commission. My name is Eric Peek, and I'm president of the Coquelin Run Citizens Association. We represent 650 homes surrounding the Georgetown branch area, the proposed Bi-County Transitway. The Coquelin Run Citizens Association is extremely concerned as to the effect of the potential Bi-County Transitway would have on the quality of life in our community. Choosing our area for a light rail alignment would destroy all the green space and would may even cause the roads to be widened in the area in order to accommodate increased traffic on a potential Jones Mill station. I didn't see anything about a Jones Mill station earlier, but we did hear a rumor that in order to accommodate this project, there would need to be a station at Jones Mill, which is an incredibly heavily, very dense traffic area where Jones Mill and Jones Bridge meet. It's a lot of people cut through the park there, and it's hazardous. Bikers and joggers cross. There's a new light there. We were adamantly opposed to choosing the Georgetown Branch Trail for a rail and a train station. The current bike paths are frequented by thousands of people per week, exercising, walking their children in strollers, and enjoying the environment. Many residents are concerned that their homes may even be destroyed if condemned for this project, as there are many homes that are very close to Jones Bridge Road and Jones Mill Road. We encourage MTA and the Planning Board to explore other options for this project. There are many other routes and alternatives that could be considered without destroying the Georgetown branch. Proposals that say the light rail can coexist with the current peaceful setting in the Georgetown branch are ludicrous. The vast majority of our community is adamantly opposed, and we encourage the Planning Board to investigate other options for this project. Thank you for your time.
Good afternoon. My name is Erwin Mack. I'm Executive Director at the Tacoma Langley Crossroads. Each of us has different perspectives on the need for transportation. I represent an area which is terribly deficient in public transportation for the highest district density of pedestrian population in the state of Maryland. Some 5 years ago, we entered into a study with the State Highway Administration to take care of a University Boulevard planned Maryland's International Corridor. For some 20 months, we studied on how to make that an attractive piece of property for the entire state of Maryland. Suddenly, the idea of a purple line came up. Consequently, all the work that had been done on the planned Maryland's International Corridor had to be set aside in favor of considering what needs the purple line would have. We discovered that through the studies made by State Highway Administration, there was a need to serve the pedestrian population to such a degree that a planned stop was proposed for the Tacoma-Langley Crossroads. At this time, we are the largest ridership of any non-metro bus stop in the entire Montgomery County. Some 3,500 people a day get on Montgomery County buses at that intersection. In addition to that, we currently have no transit center of any kind because of a disagreement between the property owner and the state, the Montgomery County. So we appeal to the county, to the state, to do the studies that are necessary. But in any case, through testimony that I've provided for you in a different packet, going back to the Crossroads Task Force that was originally set up by the then Governor Glenn Denning and the county executive, the Transit Purple Line project was clearly recommended, and we frankly hope that speed becomes more of a concern than a delay. Thank you.
Thank you. Amy Beckett.
Good afternoon, Chair. Chairman Berlage, members and staff of the Montgomery County Planning Board, and my fellow citizens. My name is Amy Beckett. I'm here this afternoon as a homeowner and resident on Sligo Avenue. I strongly oppose any plan to run a purple line along Sligo and strongly urge that the board reject any proposal that calls for a light rail on or along Sligo. Here's why. My husband and I bought our Sligo Avenue home 5 years ago. We live there with our three young daughters. We love our walkable, vital neighborhood. We own just one car. My husband takes Metro to work. I walk to my job in downtown Silver Spring. In fact, every single day, we walk across and along Sligo to reach our school, our bus stop, our daughter's playmates, babysitting jobs, friends, parks, our mechanic, the music store, the bakery, the library, and points beyond. Any time of day and most of the night, there is a steady stream of pedestrians on our sidewalks, walking to and from work, shops, church, or waiting for the number 16 bus for points beyond. Sligo Avenue is incredibly diverse. We share our street with an amazing array of businesses, homeowners, and renters. I count three schools, two churches, a thriving automobile repair district, restaurants, an office tower, a veterinarian, two beauty shops, a park, an accounting firm, a day labor service, a dry cleaner, two ethnic groceries, a tavern, a veterinary hospital, which, by the way, the county just already moved once from another condemned location, and several large apartment buildings among the commercial properties. We are white, black, Asian and Latino. Renters come to Sligo Avenue from the world over, including El Salvador, Ethiopia, Senegal, Eritrea, and Peru. My fellow homeowners have included immigrants from China, Vietnam, Ethiopia, and Jamaica. We are retirees and wage earners, homemakers and working parents, singles, and families. My across-the-street neighbor, who is a Navy nurse, served our country last year in the war in Iraq. Sligo Avenue is historic. Our house, like many on our side, is more than 85 years old. It is a terrible idea to destroy our homes and businesses, but there are other reasons it's bad. It would literally bisect the community, creating a literal other side of the tracks. It would endanger public safety. It would compromise the community. There are better alternatives. We strongly urge you to consider Wayne Avenue, tunneling, or even University Boulevard. I've condensed my remarks. I refer you to my written comments. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. I have one question for Mr. Mack. Since I've always thought of you as kind of the unofficial mayor of Langley Park. Langley Park doesn't have a mayor, but you certainly spend a lot of time there, I know, both as a citizen and a business owner. One of the more eye-opening experiences I've had in this whole debate was to be in Langley Park at 5 o'clock in the morning on a work day. And, you know, I was told it was going to be busy. I was blown away. It's Grand Central Station. It's Bethesda on a nice Saturday afternoon. I mean, the number of people is tremendous, and a large number of them appear to be getting on the bus. And I know that the statistics we've been given suggest that a lot of those workers are commuting westward to Bethesda or to jobs in the I-270 corridor.
That's correct.
But I want to get from someone who's on the ground on a regular basis, what is your perception of the utility of a purple line in terms of bringing workers from Langley Park to the west? What is your sense of how many of them would really find it a significant time advantage? Are they really going to Bethesda, or are they going to other points in the corridor that would require them to make transfers? What's your sense of how important this is to that group of workers in Langley Park?
Not having a current study, I can't speak for the 2004, but prior studies indicated that a significant percentage, more than the half, if you will, of the 3,500 were going toward the Bethesda area to go to work.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Robinson?
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Mack, I'd like to pursue that same question. I'm sure the staff and the state will pursue this issue in any more detailed evaluation. But I think it would be very helpful if we could have, for our own evaluation from the Tacoma Langley Crossroads, the bus routes that go to Bethesda, including how many involve changes at Silver Spring Transit Center, and then if we could see the transit times. Now, not only what we get is kind of a mean transit time, and I've never considered that to be satisfactory. So I think the buses have a regular schedule. One bus might run every 15 minutes. And they're not all going to make it, the run from Langley Park through Silver Spring to Bethesda, in the same running time, because congestion gets materially bad for a certain period of time, and then it tapers off. So as we go forward with further analysis, if we could have an update on the ridership statistics along the way the chairman is suggesting, and also a time profile that shows how transit times lengthen and congestion worsens, and then how it improves, both for the PM and the AM rush hours, so we can see more specifically at this particular juncture what the time savings would be between those destination points, because congestion's materially worsened in the last 3 or 4 years. Thank you. I know that's a lengthy question, but I want to
make sure. Yeah, it's a question more appropriately directed to our staff and the state staff.
But would you like that by 2:30?
It's a long time. Information, some anecdotal information that would be helpful.
The next group is Nancy Nickel, Ernest Bland, and Harry Sanders. Go ahead, Ms. Nickel.
Good afternoon, Chairman Balazs, members of the board, staff, and members of the public. I am Nancy Nickel of 801 Violet Place in East Silver Spring. I own my home with my husband and fully intend to live there until the day I die at a very old age. We do not own a car. We take ride on buses, metro rail, taxis, and we rent flex cars and occasionally other cars. I cross Sligo Avenue on foot almost every day and often walk down that street. I am a founding member of Save Our Sligo Avenue. Certainly I support public transit, but not one home, not one apartment, not one small business should be taken for this project, not even a front yard. All we need are more buses of the kind that ride low to the ground and better places to wait for them. The staff recommendation is certainly on the wrong track and must be rejected. The Purple Line concept seems to be based on a premise that middle-class people do not ride buses. I am middle-class and I ride them, but I certainly feel like a second-class citizen when I wait for a ride-on bus at the Silver Spring Metro Station. I can take the number 16 or 17 bus, but both come to an absurdly narrow, dark, barely sheltered spot where many other ride-on buses also stop. Even at night, there is barely enough sidewalk space to hold all the riders. By contrast, Metrobus has a nice, bright, sheltered area to wait for the F4 and F6 New Carrollton. This route is often served by low-riding buses. They are dramatically easier to board and to ride, even standing up, than ride-on buses. Smart car technology also speeds the process. However, they run infrequently at night. More of these low-riding buses from Metrobus and purchase of similar models by Ride-On would help tremendously. Smaller low-riding buses are also available. Metrobus uses them at DuPont Circle in the district. Improving Ride-On bus stops and making some routes express would also help. More frequent buses would bring out more riders and riders who obey transit rules. Greater frequency would give harried, multiple-job-holding riders more time to eat before boarding, eliminating the worst problem, eating on the bus. The low buses have big wheel wells, therefore fewer seats. I and my fellow riders want to work with Park and Planning, MTA, Metrobus, WMATA, Ride-On, and any other interested parties on the best solutions for types of buses, routes, and times. Easier, faster, more frequent buses will lure people from their cars. We could also try campaigns like weekly free passes for neighbors or coworkers, so riders could lure their peers out of their cars. The Purple Line is being touted as a smart growth proposal. There is nothing smart about destroying homes. In conclusion, I say more and better buses, no bulldozers.
Thank you. Mr. Bland.
My name is Ernest Bland. I'm a 19-year resident on Sligo Avenue. I have a business of 16 years exclusively in Silver Spring. I own two properties on Sligo Avenue, one commercial, one residential. I'm speaking today on behalf of my family, my business, the newly formed Save Our Sligo Avenue, which includes residents, businesses of Sligo Avenue and surrounding community. I'm an architect with experience in several areas of the built environment, including community planning and development. I also have experience with the MTA and the light rail system in Baltimore, and am familiar with other light rail systems in other cities. Contrary to a staff report issued this month, Sligo Avenue is a neighborhood street. It is suggested in the staff report that the reason Silver Spring Avenue was not selected is because it is a neighborhood street. Sligo Avenue is a community within itself that supports and is supported by its adjacent arterial neighbors. The community has historically favored progress for Silver Spring. However, consideration of the Purple Line through Sligo Avenue is contrary to the support that has been afforded the county council and planning board in the past. Community circulation, both pedestrian and vehicular, would be adversely affected by the Sligo Avenue should the Purple Line come that way. The introduction of the active light rail lines poses a threat to school children, elderly, and the public in general. Light rail trains historically are not generally run through neighborhoods. One reason is that the trains are silent as they approach and often cause fatalities because they are not heard before being seen by their victims. Alternative locations to Sligo Avenue. Sligo Avenue should never have been a consideration by MTA, MNCPPC, or the county government for a rail system. Planning and development in sophisticated communities usually seeks to accommodate its constituents. Sligo Avenue has a distinct history in Silver Spring as one of the first streets. In addition, there are several less community neighborhood streets that could be more viable options to traverse through Silver Spring. These options include, of course, Wayne Avenue, the Outer PLL, and Spring Street. In conclusion, our recommendation is several bills that just we only had a deadline because we just found out the other day, so those were produced in 2 days. Plus, I've given you a report. In conclusion, it is the recommendations of the citizens of Silver Spring, Save Our Sligo Avenue, the all business owners, as well as families in the neighborhood and communities of Sligo Avenue, that the planning board remove Sligo Avenue as an option for the Purple Line train. There is no need for using Sligo Avenue as a comparison site with Wayne. There are no inherent gains to the community along Sligo Avenue, and there are no benefits to the community, and there is therefore no incentive for us to support the rail line through our homes, through our businesses, and through our lives.
Thank you. Harry Sanders.
Harry Sanders, resident of Woodside, 1710 Noyes Lane, a block from the proposed right-of-way. I'm co-founder of the Action Committee for Transit, which has supported version of the Purple Line for 18 years. In my own experience, I'd say for 15 years, I've been going around the country to look at light rail lines to see how communities have integrated them with their community, and I have a couple of photos in my statement. We distributed, our organization grew by a factor of 10 when we started distributing flyers into the community and gaining support for the Purple Line over the shorter 4-mile version. There's broad support for the Purple Line because it connects circumventually Bethesda, Silver Spring, Long Branch, Langley Park, College Park, and New Carrollton. 200,000 jobs in those towns when it builds out. We also need a regional rail that would connect 4 metro lines, 3 marks, and New Carrollton. We applaud the staff for a very preliminary staff work in reviewing light rail options. We're just putting it on the table. We were about 15 years ago when we started discussion on this. We think Wayne Avenue has a wider right-of-way. Sligo may be a little easier to move the trains through the CSX Transit Center, but we think Sligo would probably go underground at some point and cost more, but it would be faster if underground to the riders. I've attached some photos I've taken in the Minneapolis Light Rail Line and in the Sherbrooke, Quebec, that showed trails near rail facilities. The L.A. Transit Line, a gold line, is a good precedent for this line. I urge you to send your engineers and planners out to L.A.
They're building rail lines in L.A. again after a major bus riders league strike, and they're doing it by working with the community, by going underground when they need to. And I have a copy of the East L.A. line, a very diverse community that when they got in the tight stretch, they went underground. It's affordable. It's doable. Finally, I think we need to talk about the benefits to riders. How much time savings? What is the value of this? The ICC, you know, the state come up with $300,000 for an economic benefit study. We never talk about benefits to people who live in these communities. It's time to do that. Conclusion, we need transit that's really competitive with auto congestion. It's terrible what's going on in our beltway. It's only getting worse. People really would like to go around that without driving. Bus rapid transit is the main alternative. Do you want a lot of buses on your street? Buses would probably have to go underground or take lanes to Sligo and Wayne Avenue. I don't think the neighborhood's going to like that either. We think LRT can carry more people. It can go underground when it needs to. It's affordable. It can be done. I wish we had started the Silver Spring-Bethesda segment years ago so we have a better understanding of what light rail is. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions?
Yes, a couple quick questions for Harry. I'll give this to you afterwards. It's public testimony. It's an article, New Rail Transit Investments Review. That's the formal title of the Harvard University study referred to by a prior witness. It's dated June 29, 1998. I would appreciate it if you or one of your colleagues, if you're familiar with more recent literature about the effectiveness of rail transit investments, if you could submit that for the record and to our staff. Secondly, I think what you're suggesting is that under Sligo Avenue, if we choose that alignment, we should probably use the tunnel at least as far as Sligo Creek Park because of the narrowness of the right-of-way and the possible impact on the communities. Is that your recommendation?
Well, I think there is some real constraints there that I have to admit. It's tighter than that. I've seen light rail run a few blocks around the country by slowing the trains down. Now, here's the problem when you do that. You did that in Pasadena. You start impacting ridership by running the train slower. So as a transit rider advocate, there's a point which you get neighborhood impact and you slow the trains down. It's not worth it anymore just to build a line. The Railroad Administration wants to save money because they don't want to spend money on transit. I understand that. But let's don't bend over backwards to keep the cost down. Let's think through the value to transit riders. Let's think through the community impact. So I tend to think that's probably right, but I can't say exactly without going through the profile of the geology.
But let me rephrase the question. Then your suggestion would be don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. We don't maybe need wouldn't tunnel all the way from all the way to New Hampshire, but it would be partial tunneling and then partially on the surface, and those are options that should be examined.
Be very thoughtful about L.A. The way they got the East L.A. line built was going back to the community time and time again. They had monthly meetings with the community to resolve that issue. That line, the East L.A. line, started out as an underground heavy rail line. Bus rider said, sued, you can't do that anymore. You can't do what Doug Duncan wants to do in underground everywhere or the opponents want to do. It's not affordable. So you have to go back and work it through the community. It's tough work. It takes time, but we have to do it.
Thank you. That's very helpful.
Thank you very much. The next group is Joe Fitzgerald, Greg Smedley, and Ann Martin. Mr. Fitzgerald.
Good afternoon. My name is Joe Fitzgerald, and I'm speaking in opposition to a Sligo Avenue alignment for the proposed Purple Line. For the last round of community input into the Purple Line alignment in September 2003, mailings were sent to every household in the impacted area, and a great response resulted. The winter mailing promised that public meetings would be held at each important step with adequate notice given. Well, we only heard about this meeting on Sunday evening when a visibly upset neighbor in Sligo Avenue appeared on our porch. This gives the impression that decisions are being railroaded through in secret. This has never been the way that this board has done business. Regarding the substance of the report, it appears that a considerable leap of faith has occurred since last September. All alternatives to light rail have since been rejected. Currently, ride-on bus routes 15, 16, 17, and 18 have stops already serving the areas covered by the proposed light rail routes. Would it be sensible to at least try to improve those routes with the addition of extra buses, more frequent runs, and better shelters? It would cost vastly less money, could be introduced almost immediately, and if it didn't work, the buses could be transferred to other routes. It's also important to remind the board of the tremendous negative impact that a surface transitway would have on Sligo Avenue and surrounding areas. Sligo Avenue is only two lanes wide for most of its length. It's a snow emergency route and a major route for emergency vehicles of all kind. Sligo Avenue has only a 45 to 50 foot right-of-way. Most of the homes on Sligo Avenue have tiny front yards. This would necessitate the destruction of the homes on one side of the street or the placing of the light rail right up against the front doors of those homes, schools, businesses, churches, condominiums, and apartment houses. Sligo Avenue is one of the oldest streets in Silver Spring. It was the first part of the old Blair Plantation to be subdivided, and many of the houses go back to the earliest part of the last century. It's home to one of the oldest and most beautiful churches in Montgomery County. All very interesting and charming for those of us who live on Sligo Avenue, but unfortunately, it's probably not enough reason not to destroy them. The reason not to destroy them is that they house and represent what Montgomery County is proud to claim as its ideal for a community: peaceful, safe, racially and economically mixed, active politically, and in support of local education and community development. The county is proud to claim that Silver Spring is its new arts district. Mr. Berlage and I talked in my living room about how successfully Alexandria and New York used art communities to jumpstart the redevelopment of neglected neighborhoods back when he first ran for county council. Within just one block of the intersection of Sligo and Chesapeake lives one of Washington's most prominent portrait painters, one of the region's most famous photographers, a nationally known landscape painter, an internationally known New York Times reviewed author, and the designer of the new U.S. Nickel. These people don't deserve any special treatment, but their presence indicates that this is a community that really works, that attracts the sort of families any county would want to attract and should not be disrupted. The families of Sligo Avenue live through the Blade Runner period of Silver Spring, keeping up their properties and always looking forward to a day when things would improve. It seems terribly short-sighted to root them out for an experiment whose only certain result is the destruction of their community. Thank you very much.
Mr. Smedley.
Good afternoon, Mr. Berlage, members of the board. I have written testimony on behalf of the Coalition to Build the Inner Purple Line, and I also distributed copies of a copy of testimony by the University of Maryland. I was asked by the university's vice president to deliver that as well, although they have sent an original copy to you by fax this morning, so you should have a signed copy. And I'd ask that staff substitute the signed and letterhead copy for the bootleg one. The Coalition represents major business, labor, civic, environmental, and educational organizations based in the bi-county area that will benefit from the Inner Purple Line. We strongly support efforts by both Montgomery and Prince George's counties to keep this important transit project on track. We appreciate the current effort, in particular, by the County Council and the Planning Board to identify a route for the Purple Line through Eastern Silver Spring, since this is one of the most challenging segments of the project. We're supportive of a number of the recommendations in the staff report. First and foremost, it is premature to eliminate consideration of either of the two alignments being discussed, given that undergrounding in certain segments may address some of the serious concerns expressed here today. It makes sense to consider additional stops to ensure that the project serves all the communities through which it passes. Further study must consider potential land use impacts, however, as well as the impact on travel time and ridership. There's strong support for a Long Branch stop within our coalition and in the Long Branch community, where revitalization efforts would be strengthened by the transit link. Additionally, a stop near the revitalizing east end of downtown Silver Spring is well worth further study, since it is more than a 10-minute walk from the transit center where the main Silver Spring stop would be. We agree that it is possible to thread the Purple Line through eastern Silver Spring in a manner that has many positive impacts on the surrounding area. There are many examples of successful light rail lines passing through stable residential communities in the United States and elsewhere throughout the world. Locally, there is undisputable evidence that citizens are willing to pay a premium to to live in areas served by rail transit. As we have said in the past, we expect the Purple Line to include segments that are underground on bridges, but cost considerations will dictate that much of the project is at grade. We believe this can be designed in a manner that is compatible with surrounding communities as well as operationally efficient. We support the opening of master